Hey there, guys and ghouls. I just told you we were going to start. What are you saying?
I know, I didn't know that I had it scrolled to the top of my notes. Okay.
Hey there, guys and ghouls. Third time. Hey there, guys and ghouls.
You're tuned in to Broadcast from the Belfry. And every day is Halloween podcast for the morbidly curious.
It's pretty true. My name is Sanjay, and I was mostly on time today. Across the internet is Georgia. How are you doing today, George?
I'm glad that's your one qualifier.
I
got my bivalent booster, so I am kind of dying, but it's fine.
Hell yeah. Kind of dying's better than actually dead. Everyone get boosted. Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, it's been a great day. What are you drinking? Taco Bell through a straw?
I know. So, kind of, for a little bit. I just inhaled two beefy melt burritos because they're $2 each, and that's just, I'm robbing Taco Bell by eating as many of them as I did. So I'm drinking a PBR to fully flesh out the trashy DIY scene vibe for the day.
Hell yeah. I'm drinking a Pepsi.
Beepus?
Because I have been drinking fucking Pedialyte for the last 2 days.
Being old and being hungover is the worst. It is a bad feeling.
Well, the Pedialyte was to make sure I stayed hydrated with my boosty.
Sure it was. Says Georgia like
although
a liar.
I was kind of hungover on Saturday.
Exactly.
But it's fine. But I didn't get my booster till Sunday, so fuck you.
Yep.
Speaking of, have you recovered from the wedding?
I 100% have. So I got back and within like 2 days could sleep better. Could wake up on time. My skin is clear because I was actually breaking out for a little bit, which never happens, which isn't a humble brag. It's just a statement of fact. I'm feeling good. Also, I just last night finished the whiskey that I accidentally brought back in the flask that the groomsman got. So, yeah.
Hell yeah. I have not rested until yesterday since before that, so I'm gonna say no. But
has it been? It's been like a full week at this point, right? It's been like a weekend a day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rip.
Yeah, and I went straight back to work on Monday, and I literally walked 4.5 miles. I think I told you this. I walked 4.5 miles around the warehouse every day at work, pushing a pallet jack around.
Just get forklift certified, so, dude. It's not that hard.
Fucking ripped right now. Yep. I told them, I was like, if they pay me more, I'm gonna quit and go work as a mover because I'm a pro at it now.
There's no way. You would complain so much. Your bones already are barely working.
Shut up. I was doing a great job.
I don't doubt that. But short term. Also gross.
Yeah.
Shut up.
It's fine. It's on brand for today's episode. But before we get into that, it's the third episode of our relaunch. And in case you gentle listeners didn't notice, we also have one episode of Monster of the Week up, so that was fun.
Yeah, it was a little bit confusing because I had never played Monster of the Week, but I liked it. It was a great time, and I'm excited to keep being able to play Corbin, Cameron Red.
Well, if you were digging that, sorry, because stuff came up and we had to switch gears briefly. Hannah was out of the country, so Brandon stepped in to run a Call of Cthulhu adventure, which I am digging. I just really like Call of Cthulhu at this point. And that was for the two of us and featuring our sound producer, Shannon. But it's too long to just be one episode, and we haven't even recorded the end yet, so we don't even know what happens.
Yep, it's going to be...
Or like, if we all die.
We're probably all going to die. The first like part of it that we played, I had no idea what I was doing because I'm used to like 5e and 3.5 like ways of going about solving issues, and Call of Cthulhu does not want you to use those methods, so it took me a solid like hour or two of in-game play just to figure out how to do anything, and then I was like, oh, never mind, I'm gonna be busted as fuck. I'm so good at this game. And then I think I immediately almost died. So, yeah, we're doing it.
I'm gonna keep looking in that mirror until it kills me.
Exactly. I'm gonna keep trying to fight janitors until they love or kill me. One or the other.
But yeah, so that episode will probably take us through the end of the year. And then we'll go back to Monster of the Week in the new year. So, I mean, we're having fun playing, so if you're into RPGs, check it out.
Or if you just want to hear me do a southern accent for a long time, check it out. It's maybe my best accent.
If you want to hear me get confused every day because I don't have an accent for my character because I couldn't figure one out, but I still stumble over it every time I fucking talk for her. It's because Daisy, you know, Daisy's accent is...
It is high-pitched. It is as thick as she is, you know, just...
Toadette.
Yeah.
Daisy's accent is Toadette, so...
Also, in Call of Cthulhu, my favorite little thing is that Georgia said what her character's name was, and I intentionally called her something else, and then everyone just keeps calling her whatever name I say at the top of, like, us playing or us sitting down, which is never her correct name, so it's very good.
Honestly, I can't even remember what her name is half the time, so yep. I guess that's the downside of using a pre-made character sheet, but it's alright.
You just need a good name, like Douglas Sipple. Douglas Sipple.
I picked that sheet for you, and it's great.
It's just so. Me as a person. It's literally just my real life and my pretty much real stats. So, except Doug's charm is way higher than mine, but, you know, my knife fighting is higher than his, so... Who's
Oh yeah, because yours is a bartender and my character is a curator.
Yes, it's literally just our real lives, but you know, there's more like spaghetti monsters and janitors to either fuck or fight. So,
well, I can't speak for your character, but I have been fucking janitors now.
Yeah, you've been fighting them. Oh, also loosely related to fucking. Shout out to Tyler and Anna. Tyler tagged me in something on Twitter last week or like recently. I don't know when, I can't figure out when this is going live, but I don't want to. And it's just a t-shirt that says, Soup Powered Fuck Machine, and it made me laugh so hard I cried. So, yeah, shout out to our number one fans, and, you know, to all the other Soup Powered Fuck Machines out in the internet. This is for you.
That's really funny, because I also wanted to just give a random shout out to number one fans, Tyler and Anna.
Sweet.
You know, just wholesome vibes.
Oh, nice.
For them always having wholesome vibes.
Honestly, it's given, you know, balancing out all the bad in the world. That's it. They're just beautiful. We love you guys.
Like, some people give wholesome vibes and I hate them, and other people give wholesome vibes and I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your withered heart slightly grows, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Aside from soup fighting and fucking, what are we talking about today, George?
Well, before I tell you what we're going to talk about, I'm going to tell you that we're heading to New England today. So I want you to have a god awful rural New England accent.
All I can think of is the fly guy from Phantom Menace, which is not what people from New England sound like, but in my head it is right now. It's not like, hey, what are you doing? It's like, hey, what are you doing out there? What are you doing? That? Yeah, I got nothing. That? What is New England? It's okay.
Have you? Chowder, I'm gonna guess Rudy. The answer is no.
Are you gonna reference Rudy? Because I have seen Rudy.
No. Sue always asks me that, and I'm like, no, that's not a movie that I want to watch. And he's like, but it's so good! And I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to see Sean Astin like that. I need him to remain Sam in my head forever.
Dude, Rudy's pretty mid.
Shut the fuck up.
Hot take, but Rudy's a mid-movie.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm never gonna watch it. Like, he judges me so much, but I know what I like and what I don't like, and I'm not gonna... If I see a trailer and think, I don't care about that, I don't want to watch it. Like,
dude, just watch
Waterboy. I only want to watch something if I get excited about it. I also don't give a shit about Waterboy, but I have seen it multiple times.
Hell yeah, Waterboy is just a better version of Rudy. Not a hot take, just a true statement. So much better.
I also just don't like Adam Sandler. I don't like Adam Sandler.
You know, I have a lot of thoughts on Adam Sandler.
The only thing I like Adam Sandler in is Little Nicky, and that's like for other reasons.
Dude.
Not because of Adam Sandler.
I don't want to talk. Okay. Just really, really quick tangent about Adam Sandler. So, Uncut Gems, fucks. 10 out of 10 movie. Everyone should watch Uncut Gems. It's fantastic. And Adam Sandler's in it. So's The Weeknd. And so's a basketball player who I forgot the name of. It's very good. Also, I think Hustler is the name of the other movie that he did kind of recently that's basketball themed. Mm-hmm. And that movie, even though it's about sports, I also loved. So good. 9 out of 10. He's married to Queen Latifah in it. Great movie. So, modern Adam Sandler, great. Old Adam Sandler, Little Nicky and the Waterboy. That's mm-hmm. pretty much it. And Forrest Gump. No, not Forrest Gump. Happy Gilmore. Yeah. Happy Gil Gump is my favorite movie.
The fact that you just confused those two movies, I am gonna just walk away. I'm guessing the answer is no, but have you seen Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities on Netflix?
No. I do like
Guillermo. It's actually not that scary.
Yeah, I like Guillermo del Toro. He did Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie fucked. It was good.
So, it's like an anthology of, you know, like Twilight Zone style, but more horror. Guillermo del Toro style.
It's like, is that one guy in it? The guy that plays the guy with, like, hands for eyes? Like, that's in every movie ever. I don't think
so. Rupert Grint is in an episode.
Whoa, I love it. Dude, fucking Ron Weasley's in a horror show? I'll watch that.
Yeah, it's a really shitty episode, and I have a lot of opinions about it. And also, like, he's really bad at accents. It's really unfortunate. But in his defense, that episode was also directed by Catherine Hardwicke, who directed the Twilight movies, so I can't put all the blame on him.
Wait, how much Muse and or Paramore is in this show?
Zero.
That's why it's dog shit then. So she hit a home run with the Twilight franchise because of the banging soundtrack. So good.
Yeah. It was. Anyway, so there's this episode. If you watch it, this will be the prime rural-ass New England accent for you. There is an episode called Pikmin's Model, and it's based on H.P. Lovecraft's story of the same title. And the Pikmin in it has this horrible, I can't even replicate it, I don't know what it is. It's fucking backwards-ass New England bullshit. I mean, I hate New England accents anyway, but
dude, it's clam chowder. Crabs, the sports team that's from there, Patriots, the Pats, we love the Pats, Cloudy, do I sound like I'm from
Boston in the fall?
Yeah, Boston in the fall, real pizza,
your khakis,
yeah, is it the Chicago, no, that's the, is that like, you know, like, is it the like, yeah, accent? Is that Boston?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't really do that one.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, we're talking about the New England Vampire Panic.
I'm pretty excited about this because of where I'm at in Not Another D&D podcast where they're fighting vampires. So,
hell yeah.
I'm very stoked. I'm in a very vampire mood right now.
Sweet. Look at that. I'm in a very sickly Victorian person mood right now, which is pretty on par with what we're talking about
today. On account of your alabaster skin and your weak constitution, physically, not emotionally. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And my raspy chest from my booster. Yeah. Yeah, I do kind of have a sick voice, so sorry about that. But deal with it. So, I think I kind of mentioned this way back in an episode that I forgot to look up what number it was, but it was like our first, probably within our first 20 episodes, we did one about vampires. Like, we did the werewolf one and the clown one and the vampire one.
Okay, so if that was the order, the clown one was a month ago, 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because on my Snapchat story, there's a video of just me making Georgia listen to Hocus Pocus by Insane Clown Posse, and I am so happy, and she is not happy at all. So, yeah, it's, like, roughly 2 years ago.
Yeah. So we talked all about the origins of vampires, and I think I mentioned in that episode how historically legends of vampires across Europe always sprung up around outbreaks of disease. And in this case, the New England Vampire Panic is a prime example of that happening here in the States. So in the 19th century, an outbreak of tuberculosis spread across Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, you know, New England. So let's remember that not much is known about germ theory at this time. So anatomy and physiology are poorly understood, and advancements that led to modern medicine are only just being discovered like around the time that this is happening through the 19th century. And this story doesn't take place near any major city where these discoveries were happening, like where there were prominent medical colleges at the time, you know, maybe Boston, but these are all rural towns. So
even in 2022, germ theory is still not really understood based on the amount of nasty fucks I see not wash their hands in the bathrooms.
Or how many people just don't wash their hands after they cough or
sneeze
without covering their mouth.
Also, like, put your fucking tongue away when you cough. This is me adding every child ever, but like adults that cough with their tongue all the way out, grow up. What's wrong with you? Like, no, don't. Unless you're covering your mouth, then you can do whatever you want. It's a secret. It's hidden behind your elbow.
Yeah, and anytime you, cough into your elbow. Fucking
vampire cough.
Way less disgusting than, and then shaking someone's hand. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, it grosses me out.
Dude, just spit in my mouth if you're gonna do that. Don't, like, you know, muddle it up with, like, hand to mouth to hand to hand to mouth. Just spit in my mouth so I can be angry at you up front. That's it.
I always sneeze into my shirt, so unless you're gonna motorboat me, like, you're good.
That's one day George is gonna get approached by, like, one of those Snapchat people that are like, if you do this weird thing right now, we'll give you $1 million. And they'll be like, if we can motorboat your upper tit right now, we'll give you $1 million, but we can't get sick. And she's gonna be like, oh wow, well, there's so much phlegm on my knobs that I can't guarantee that.
Whoops. And then they get COVID.
And then they get COVID.
So, the real panic set in when, not understanding contagion, people believed that those who had died from tuberculosis were then draining or consuming the life from their surviving relatives.
We've all been there.
Mm-hmm. As a result, my surviving relatives usually drain all of the energy out of me, that's for sure.
Yep.
Hillbilly bastards. As a result, bodies were being exhumed and examined to see if organs contained liquid blood or if the corpse was unusually fresh. And methods to stop the vampire, one was to flip the body over in its grave to prevent it from rising out, because then they would rise this way and not be able to go anywhere.
Dude, what if the vampire just wanted to eat your ass, though? And then it's just like, wow, this is so convenient.
Decapitating the body was also a method that was used.
That one makes more sense, yeah.
Or, most commonly, removing the organs and burning them, with afflicted family members inhaling the smoke or consuming the ashes in hope of being cured.
That one makes... So, it's like, oh, clearly vampirism is stored in the guts, so if I burn the guts, they can't come back as a vampire. But also, if I inhale them, then I can't get vampirism, because then it'll be in my guts, which is, like, what?
Yeah. It
makes no sense.
It's usually, like, the heart and the liver, because I think those were the organs that most commonly had liquid blood in them, just because of, like, how decomp was happening for whatever reason, but...
So why do you keep phrasing it like that? Like, is there, like, does human blood turn into powder after a little bit, or does it come as powder? Like, right now, we're pretty much just, like... blood from concentrate, like,
being... It just hadn't dried up and, like, you know, seeped out of the body or anything.
Gross. Yeah, I hope not. I sure hope not. I need my blood. Yeah, keep that shit inside.
Remember when we talked about how decomp happened and all the seepage?
No, I intentionally blocked 90% of that out. That was the episode with Taylor, right? From, like, around, like, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Thanksgiving, yeah.
Yeah, I intentionally blocked out all of that because it made me uncomfortable and it made my stomach hurt. So, no.
And then you went, literally re-recorded it on Thanksgiving Day.
So unhappy.
So, where are we? Okay. Yeah, so one of the most famous victims of the New England Vampire Panic was Mercy Lena Brown, but we'll come back to her. That's what Brandon wrote notes about for me.
Sweet.
But I added some fun facts about tuberculosis itself. Woo. So we're first going to talk about TB, or consumption, as it was called in the oldie days.
Oh, I also have one TB fact.
What's your TB fact?
My friend Ryan had it like 2 months ago. So, shout out to Ryan. I love you, Quacks. I'm glad that your TV is now cleared up.
It's really funny.
Yep.
Sometimes, like, I have such horrible respiratory issues a lot of the time. And I think it's just because I had bronchitis many times as a young, sickly child. So my respiratory system sucks. But I was reading this and I was like, do I have TB?
No, you don't have TB. I'll ask Ryan what the symptoms are, but from what I know, he just like can't have fun you can't have fun legally if you have TB, so.
I'll tell you the symptoms, don't worry. So yeah, consumption, because it appeared that the sufferer was being consumed by the infection. TB most commonly affects the lungs and is spread via aerosol droplets from coughing, spitting, sneezing, or speaking. So sneeze into your boobies.
Exactly. Cough on your knobs, 2022.
In 2020, TB was the second leading cause of death from an infection disease after COVID, obviously. And that year alone, it's estimated that 10 million people developed TB and 1.5 million died.
Dude, honestly, I thought before a couple months ago, that TB was like an old disease, like a ye olde disease.
Yeah.
And that it only existed in anime, and that was it. So, because whenever...
Have you ever had a TB test?
No, I don't think so.
They like put a little bit of TB, they inject it in your arm, and it bubbles up.
I'm not gonna have to put a virus inside of me. There's no way. I don't know whether I'm not gonna microchip my arm.
And there's this little bubble that stays under your skin for like 2 or 3 days, and then they have to check it again. And if the bubble goes away, then you don't have TB. But if you get a TB test done enough times, this happens to nursing students a lot, I guess, who have to get like frequent TB tests, that you can have it injected into you so many times that even if you don't actually have TB, you can test positive for it because of...
That sucks. It's like a feline leukemia. Same thing.
I learned that in my microbiology class. General symptoms include fever and chills, night sweats, loss of appetite, weight loss, and fatigue.
Do I have
TB? I don't
TB?
Like it. I'm telling you.
That was
you,
me the last, like, month and a half. Like, straight. Like, what?
I don't like it when a symptom is fatigue because I'm always fucking tired. Like,
yeah, same.
This is bullshit. In more active stages, there is chest pain and a productive cough. And, like, you know, you're coughing up phlegm and shit.
I think that that's actually counterproductive, if I had to say so myself. Like, I don't think that that's actually... No, like, I'm not benefiting from this. No.
And if it gets worse, it can lead to coughing up blood, like in every period drama.
Yeah.
Get your little white hanky.
Exactly.
You know.
Tiny bit of blood.
Which, like, I don't understand why you just wouldn't start using red hankies at that point. Like, obviously you're not going to get the blood stains out of the white ones. Why don't you just have red ones?
Because you have to be pure, and your hanky signifies your heart. So, like, if I see someone with a red hanky, I'm like, oh, they're a murderer. If I see someone with a brown hanky, I'm like, they shit themselves a lot. If I see someone with a blue hanky, I'm like, their head's always in the clouds. But a white hanky? No. pure a constitution and heart.
That's okay, fine. I'm speaking of pure constitution and hearts. I know I already told you, but shout out to Daisy, who just dismembered a body and cooked it in the stew for her whole fucking logging camp.
It's like, mad fuck, dude. Like, also, you murdered someone, like, the session before that, so, like, your character's just going through a lot right now.
Well, yeah, that's probably what set off the spiral, honestly. I think it was Shannon.
Listener, you may think that barking is coming from us, but actually it's coming from your end. It's your dog barking, not one of ours. Please silence your dogs as you enter the theater.
Anyway, so Daisy went on she's had a mental break, it's fine. But she's still pure of heart on the inside, kind of.
Yeah, sure. I mean, to a degree, I guess. You're low, though. A perfect, wholesome dwarf. Who is now John Wicking his way across the across the island, just murdering government officials?
Hell yeah! Also, the orcs went to go destroy the military camp.
Nice. I mean, that makes sense. That was a whole lot of like sit-in episode. Like, I didn't expect a lot of that to happen, and I was like, oh damn.
I think that's been the general vibe of this campaign. I didn't really expect any of this to happen. Oh, I expected if anyone was going to go crazy, it would be Brandon's character. Mm-hmm. No, I'm here. No. Don't worry.
Brandon's character, wholesome-ish, and just trying to, like, settle everything and just, like, be a good ambassador. And then just...
Well, at least... he has started threatening a lot of people in the last episode.
No, that makes sense. I mean, well, everyone's just started blasting, so that makes sense.
So, TB is caused by a mycobacterium, which... was always really fun to learn about in microbiology class. It's a bacteria that, in observation, has grown the same way that mold does. So at first they weren't sure if it was like a fungus or a bacteria, but it's kind of both.
Yeah, it's a terrible disease. It's not a fun guy. Yeah.
No, it's not a fun guy. Fun fact, leprosy is also caused by a microbacterium.
Gross.
Or Hansen's disease, as it's now known. The introduction of vaccines, get your fucking vaccines, and pasteurized milk, as well as the improvement of sanitation, has greatly decreased the general risk of contracting TB, you know, out in the wild, unless you're Ryan, apparently.
Yeah, he also has a disease. He's got, like, super advanced young people arthritis. I think it's called, like, spondyphilitis or something. But yeah, his immune system is like super fucked and has been forever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I won't tell that story. I think it's like a private story, kind of. Hit me up if you want to hear about Ryan's nickname. It's really funny, but also terrible. But yeah, he couldn't take his bonitis medicine because he had TB. So he just, so his bonitis was really acting up. And also he's just coughing blood. We're like, dude, what kind of Little House on the Prairie shit are you going through? Just a bedridden maiden. He's like, yeah, I know.
That sucks.
Yeah.
So...
I think I'm gonna burp now.
Oh, who's gotta be burped now, bitch? There it is.
Oh, shit. I also didn't do... I know what must be done. I just don't know if I'm strong enough to do it. That's my Kylo Ren impression. It's, like, pretty accurate.
So, despite all of that gross stuff, getting TB was pretty trendy.
Pretty hot, sexy, and rad. Me eating Taco Bell, them getting TB. It's all the same.
Oh, I'd love a double steak grilled cheese burrito right now.
Or a nice tuberculosis. Just one.
Yeah, well, you know, I feel like I'm pretty close to that already. Lord Byron, who is kind of dumb anyway, is reported to have said, I should like to die of consumption. And when asked why, he answered, because all the ladies would say, look at that poor Byron, how interesting he looks in dying.
Dude, is he me? Is that it? Just like, man, if I'm gonna be dead, I'm gonna do it with pizzazz, you know? I want people to be like, wow, Sanji looks so thin, trim, and lacking in blood, is it? Oh, it's the consumption for sure. Oh, really?
Literally. Literally. Also, I think I've said this before, but one of the first vampire stories, especially the one that introduced, like, the vampire as we know it today, was written by John Polidori, who was Lord Byron's doctor, and the character of the vampire was based on Lord Byron himself.
Nice.
So, okay. He's kind of a fuck. Byron's kind of a fuck. He was like a womanizer and like kind of a shit stain. Nice. Like, he was your friend that encouraged you to do all the things that you say you don't want to do anymore.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me of another thing to talk to you about after the podcast.
Oh, fun. Okay.
It's not bad, but I just, like, this reminded me that I need to talk to you about something else. I'll make a note for myself.
Okay. Of course, TB was most detrimental, Jesus, I cannot talk today. Of course, TB was most detrimental amongst the poor and working class, and the aesthetic was found desirable by the upper class. It's like heroin chic in the 90s, you know? The loss of blood made your skin really pale, which, like, just use fucking sunscreen, hello. That's what I do.
Weren't they using, like, asbestos as sunscreen back then?
It's probably lead.
Just lead. Not lead-lined anything. Not just a solid, like, chunk of lead. Just Crayola, like, yourself.
Is that, like, white stuff that they, like, in the old timeies, yeah, they've had on their noses? Like, yeah. I feel like that had lead in it or something.
To that end, Victorian ladies frequently employed parasols and bonnets to shield their faces from the sun. If all else failed, a lady could always try harsher solutions, such as one of Dr. Carlin's describes. Made from shaved soap, salts of tartar, borax, 1 ounce of liquid ammonia.
Sunscreen every day.
Spooky girl.
Yeah, if you want to look like the pores, wear sunscreen. Put in work. We love you, Dad.
The loss of appetite caused by rapid weight loss. Trendy. The fever made your eyes bright and your cheeks rosy. All these qualities that were already considered desirable in women were emphasized by TB. And it really influenced Victorian fashion with, like, the really narrow corseted waists that were emphasized even more by the big skirts.
Yeah.
As well as, like, the use of makeup. But this also came under attack a few decades later for further contributing to the spread of TB. So people started saying that the large skirts would sweep germs in off the streets and into the houses and bring the TB inside. And that the corsets restricted proper lung movement and circulation so that your lungs weren't healthy and functioning properly.
Okay, why are these the immediate thoughts and not just, wow, we're sneezing in each other's mouths a lot. Wow.
Oh, we throw our shit into the streets.
Our literal poo-poos and pee on the street. Like, what? Yeah. But no, it's Jane's skirt.
Even men's facial hair was said... yeah. Even men's facial hair was said to hold on to germs.
I mean, that's kind of
so,
true.
So, like, that's why it started being, like, fashionable for men to be clean-shaven, like, in the turn of the century.
I mean, yeah, I found a lot of Gardettos in my beard, so, like, if Gardettos were germs, then I would find a lot of germs in my beard as well.
Honestly, though, I mean, I love me some aspects of TB chic, so not so much the skinny part, because I'm never going to be skinny, but, you know, like I said, I wear sunscreen every day, so to maintain my pale, translucent aesthetic.
If you stare too hard at Georgia, you can see her veins, and you can just see her skull, if you, like, squint really hard.
Hell yeah. I think everyone who's been listening for a while probably already knows that I embrace the pale, so... Anyway, that's some TB knowledge, which I think this stuff about how it influenced fashion is really interesting, but...
Yeah, also, like, I definitely... So, it sounds really dumb, objectively, to be like, yeah, why would you like get sick because you wanted to be in style? But like subjectively, I'm so lazy that if I could just get a disease that made me hot but maybe like killed me like 20 years early, I'd be like, worth the gamble.
On this weekend's episode of SNL, they did a skit. It's like one of the medical commercials, you know, like the drug commercials, but it's like, get COVID. And it's like, I just really needed a weekend away from my husband and my kid. Get COVID. I needed a week off work. Get COVID. And then it ended with them like advertising always positive COVID tests. So,
Wow.
like, even if you weren't positive, you could buy a positive test to say that you were positive and just take a week off work.
I'm pretty sure that actually does exist. Like, you can go somewhere online and just like find some like pre-positive tests
Oh,
or something.
yeah, I'm sure. So that reminded me of that. But here's the panic in New England. The first victim or vampire recorded as a panic victim was Rachel Burton in 1793, Manchester, Vermont. She was exhumed by her husband in his attempt to save his new wife. And this is some supernatural level of petty I can 100% get on. I died and you remarried, but I can come back as a vampire and affect your new wife. Yeah, I'm gonna do that. Thanks, buddy.
That's some like what's that, the Haunting of Hill House shit, right? Like loosely.
I never watched Haunting of Hill House. I only watched Haunting of Bly Manor, so.
Bly Manor's gayer and made me cry harder, but I think everyone, I think I speak for everyone when I say
Gayer.
it is, it's gayer and made everyone cry harder.
Because the main character was a lesbian.
It is plot relevant and it's beautiful. Hill House is also good, but Bly
I did
Manor is where
actually
it's at.
think about putting it on yesterday, but I was not ready to commit like the 8 hours of watching something. I was only ready to commit like 2 hours for one, so I put a movie on.
I mean, if you do that 4 times, then you're done, though. You know, that's
I
1 week.
know, but I'm gonna go back to work tomorrow, and then I'm not gonna have any time to commit to.
Yeah, you're not gonna have the available brain cells post work to like sit
No.
in a, sit at attention at yeah.
No. So his second wife did die anyway, which is really funny
Anyway, so
to
she's dead.
me. Then in 1810, in Ipswich, New Hampshire, a situation with an unnamed resident was documented in the Boston Medical and Surgical Journal by Dr. John Clough, which came out in 1840, but the incident happened in 1810. I burped, sorry. He wrote, "In connection with these superstitions, I cannot omit to mention a circumstance which occurred in this town not 30 years since, and similar occurrences probably occurred." I hate that he used occurrences and occurred. "Similar occurrences probably occurred in many other towns in New England. This was a disinterring a human body which belonged to a family strongly." What the fuck? My notes say, "To a family, LOL, strongly predisposed." Anyway, it's a typo. I was doing this on my phone, so, you know. "Which belonged to a family strongly predisposed to consumption. For the purpose of removing the heart which was burned, the ashes of which were considered a sovereign remedy to those of the family who are still living and might be affected with the same disease. This only illustrates the fact that those elements of character which held such a magic sway over the minds of men in ancient times have not ceased altogether to influence the community in our comparatively enlightened day."
Was that just someone saying, "Yo, men are dumb," air horn? Like, is that just the summary of
I feel
that?
like, so yeah, he's like, "Oh, we think these people in ye olde times were superstitious fucks, but look at what you guys just did."
Hey, you dumb fucks. You may think you're elevated, but you're still just a man. Damn dog.
Then in Ohio, which isn't in New England, so I don't know why it's on this
It's
list, but
also
it
not for
was.
lovers, yeah.
The Saladay family relocated from Switzerland. The father and oldest son died of consumption while the rest of the family was obviously also sick. So they disinterred the oldest son, cut out his entrails, which every other thing has been like heart and liver, but entrails suggest like they cut out his guts, his intestines.
Yeah.
Getting in those guts, you know?
Exactly. They heard him say that, like heard the son say it, and they were like, oh, well, like he always talked about people, about him getting in guts. Maybe he was telling us to like remove his guts. And he's just like, no, I just meant that I fucked. No.
That's an episode title, and I think it's episode 5, Getting in Them Guts, I'm pretty sure.
I'm gonna check really fast because I'm curious. I feel like it's definitely the first hit. Oh shit, I never sent it to you. As of us releasing Monster of the Week, that was our 69th episode, so nice.
You showed it to me in person.
Yeah, and then I didn't send it to Hope or anything to post, and I didn't do any, I didn't post it myself. I just was like, hey, nice, Georgia, look, nice. Screenshotted it and then did anything else. Like, I completely head empty. I was so blissed out that I was like, nothing, I can't be productive. It'll ruin this moment. what's the name of our podcast? Broadcast from the Belfry. Actually, no, it's Elizabeth Blather. Elizabeth Bathory is our 69th episode.
Hell yeah. I feel like she would have appreciated that.
We just reached episode 69. How we gonna celebrate? We're back to time, so let's go back to old Hungary, where I'll meet a little lady named Liz Bathory.
Stay tuned after our feature for a special music video.
Oh, I can just search it this way. No, I can't search it that way. That's.
I'm pretty sure it's episode 5.
Episode 5 is Getting in Those Guts, The Legend of Sonny Bean.
Hell yeah.
Sean Bean himself. Yeah.
Sean Bean.
Sean Bond.
So, anyway, the rest of the family died anyway.
The most anticlimactic. Okay.
I think this is a common trend in this episode. Oh, they tried this horrible, disgusting thing to cure everyone, and they all died anyway. In 1817, 20-year-old Dartmouth student Frederick Ransom died, but his superstitious father was worried he would return and attack the family. So, again, I had to burp. He had Frederick's body exhumed and his heart burned on a blacksmith's forge, which is the coolest way that I think any of this has been described.
100%. I want my organs forged into blades or like imbued with, or I guess imbued into like weaponry or, you know, Rings of Power style kind of.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. Some like memento mori jewelry.
Yeah, yeah.
With your ashes in it.
Yeah, to the listeners, Christmas is coming up, and you know what we want now. We want our organs made into trinkets, so just saying.
This is a good one from Griswold, Connecticut. And this one I've heard before as well. Children were playing in a gravel pit back in 1990. I was 2, thank you.
You guys want to go play rocks? Yeah, let's go play rocks. Just throwing rocks at each other.
You know, it was before the internet. Yeah, before the internet was widely available. So
nothing else to do.
What else are you going to do?
Just watch porn or throw rocks at each other. That's
you
it.
You can play on the Nintendo, but only if you don't have an older sibling who's already playing on it. Mm-hmm. So the kids unearthed some skulls in this gravel pit that led to the discovery of a farm burial ground, wow, once belonging to the Walton family, speaking of Little House on the Prairie shit. Or that was a different show. The Waltons was a show, right? And then Little House on the Prairie was different.
I have no idea what you're talking about at all.
The Waltons were like an old-timey family, and I thought that maybe they were the family from Little House on the Prairie, but it might be a separate show.
I'm pretty sure Little House on the Prairie is a fictitious work.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I mean...
Never mind. Okay. Nothing too unusual, except one coffin was marked JB55, like they had hammered tacks into the top of the coffin lid to spell out JB55. And for the longest time, like even up to like 5 years ago, no one knew what that meant. And the skeleton seemed to have been exhumed and reburied after about 5 years, and its head and femurs had been placed on its chest skull and crossbone style. And the ribcage was also broken, probably because they cut out the heart. And DNA eventually proved that this was a skeleton of John Barber, JB, who died around the age of 55, and they later found another coffin marked NB13 with the skeleton of John's son, Nathan. So, they probably thought John was a fucking vampire. And everyone died.
The end. That's, yep.
And probably one of the last cases is, like I said, that of Mercy Brown in Exeter, Rhode Island. The Brown matriarch, Mary Eliza, died of TB in 1883, and within a year, her daughter, Mary Olive, was showing the same symptoms. During the course of Olive's decline, she would talk of having nightmares and feeling a crushing weight that drew the life out of her during her sleep. That's like me every night, so yep. Do I have TB?
Again, that's, viewers, listeners, this isn't us informing you, this is us begging you for help. Do we have TB? Please, we need to know. Neither one of us has health insurance. We cannot find out ourselves.
She died in 1884, and then things seemed okay for the next 5 years, until only Brown's son, Edwin, or Eddie, showed the signs, this is Brandon's writing, showed the signs foretelling the advent of his painful death.
You're so fucking dramatic, Brandon. Holy shit. I love you, but wow.
As was the case with his sister Olive, Eddie had terrible dreams of the life being drawn from him. Talk of a spa, this is the whole section that he wrote with some additions, with one addition by myself. Talk of a spa in Colorado Springs that was known to have an invigorating effect on its visitors began to spread. I added, I'm not sure which one he went to, but this is how the Stanley Hotel had its origins. So, the inventor of the steam-powered car, the Stanley Steam Engine.
Mm-hmm. Stanley Steamer? Like the carpet cleaner?
No, the Stanley Steam Engine.
Isn't Stanley Steamer a carpet cleaner, like, company or something?
Yes. But it's also a steam car engine.
It all makes sense. I'm connecting the dots. I'm Pepe Silvia-ing all the way across this fucking country.
So his name was Freeland Stanley. He contracted TB, and he established this resort in Colorado in Estes Park that is now the Stanley Hotel.
Oh, yeah. Also, shout out to listeners Chrissy and Justin. Congratulations on getting married a few days ago. They got married in Estes Park and went to the Stanley Hotel afterwards.
Yeah, I saw Hope's pictures.
Yeah.
Eddie would make a pilgrim west. A pilgrim.
He made one tiny boy, one somber little lad, a goofy little guy.
Eddie would make a pilgrimage west with his wife for a miracle cure after hearing tales from his friends. He would find a respite from his more severe symptoms at the spa for... At the spa for a time. Jesus, I cannot talk today. In 1891, Mercy Lena Brown, Brandon says he would have gone by her middle name, Lena, which was common in those days. I'm guessing because everyone had the same fucking first names.
Yeah, there were only like 11 names invented before like the mid-1900s. So,
Mary, yeah. Mary, Elizabeth, Sarah. Elizabeth, Margaret. Which one of your middle names would you have gone by?
Probably my first one, because that's the only one I tell people. So I would have gone by Eugene, by Jean. Jean, the TB survivor.
Hell yeah. I only have one, so.
Coward. Just get more. Just get more middle names. Up those numbers.
I'll say your other middle name. No, don't you fucking threaten me.
Don't, I don't want people to true name me. No.
Don't you threaten me with a good time.
No. I'm too busy to be true named. I have so many places to be.
That's how you get banished to the underworld.
He's so fucking pissed. Why are you late to work, Sanjay? And don't use that true name excuse.
I keep getting banished to hell, Jess. I'm sorry.
So Lena takes ill with what was called the galloping consumption at the time, which was a more rare form of the illness that just killed you faster. so dramatic. Lena's health drains from her quickly until she draws her last breath and is buried in the frosty winter ground of Chestnut Hill Baptist Church Cemetery in 1892 with her mother and sister.
It's so obvious that Brandon's a GM, even though he, like, just recently started GMing. Just, like, the way that he says things, I'm just like, yeah, that tracks. That is also how I would write this, 100%.
Wait, there's a sentence coming up in a couple paragraphs that's my favorite one. I'll tell you when we get there.
Okay.
The tragic news of his younger sister's death brought Eddie back from Colorado for the funeral. Not long before his return to the rural environs of his small Rhode Island hometown, Eddie begins to take ill again and lodges at the residence of his father-in-law. With the return of the crippling symptoms, so came the haunting nightmares. But this time, Edwin would be haunted by the specter of Lena becoming... I think I was supposed to say beckoning. Beckoning him to come with her. It says becoming. Got very confused. Beckoning him to come with her in his dark dreams that I wrote. Uh-oh. Rumors of Edwin's night terrors spread across town, coupled with the lamentable family history of the death, the townspeople became unsettled, to say the least. Only the men of the family remained. Mercy's unwell brother Edwin and her father George. George now fears he will have to live to bury his only son next to his wife and two daughters. Faced with the continual evaporation of his bloodline, George has his family members exhumed and investigated for signs of unholy interference on the fervent insistence of terrified residents of Exeter. Although the patriarch of the family held no stock in macabre family tales, he had no medical explanation to offer, as the physicians and medical science of the day proved feeble in the face of this formidable pulmonary pest.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
He eventually succumbed to the imploration of the community. We already talked about this a little bit, but this is what Brandon wrote. Consumption ravaged the body unlike other common diseases in those days. 80% of those who developed the infection died. Decades before the development of antibiotics, physicians had no effective tools to treat the infection, and could only recommend benign measures such as eating well, exercising outdoors, and getting plenty of bed rest. I like the last part.
Same. Take a
fat nap. I'm a big fan of bed rest.
I will prescribe you one nap. No more, no less.
The afflicted individual would present with a dangerously high fever, typically profuse sweating, a debilitating malaise, and a strong chest pain caused by a constant cough that would reliably produce blood. But in parentheses he wrote, cue montage of every person who has a coughing fit in film. The symptoms would weaken the host to the point of requiring constant bed rest. As the symptoms would progress, the constant sweating would dehydrate the victim, thickening the humors and sinking the eyes. The body begins to waste with a diminished appetite and intake of food. Coughing fits progress in severity and the frequency, and the breathing becomes more laborious and raspy. I'm always raspy. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's true. We both have pretty deep voices. I'm just saying.
Like, sometimes when I'm inhale, it's just like...
You sound like Palpatine.
Just like, I mean, maybe it's just the booster, but when I got back from walking Suki this morning and I came up the stairs and then I was like...
Do it.
The body seems to be drained of life and is very bloody before the eyes of the onlookers, which in all likelihood was the reason that many believed in a supernatural cause of this fierce ailment. I want to backtrack for a second. Do you know what the four humors of the body are?
Nina, Pinta, Santa Maria, and Greg. Is it mind, body, soul, spirit?
No. Nope.
Left, right, up, down.
No.
Is it... Wait, I know what it is. Give me a second. I have to look it up, but I'm not looking up the answer, or the question you asked. I'm looking up what I know the answer is. Hold up. Are the four humors up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, start?
You can't remember that without looking it up?
No, I always get the Konami code mixed up. I can never remember it when I try to. But if you just, like, offhanded it, someone's like, hey, like, what is this? When I'm, like, half paying attention, I'm like, oh, yeah, up, up, down, down, left, right, PA start. But, yeah.
I can only remember it because in,
Shark Tale?
No.
It
no.
is referenced that in Shark song, Tale.
It's the, because they play that song in Juno.
What?
Yeah. My mom is talking mad shit to me right now.
Good. But why?
Because I kept trying to say okay, but you know how sometimes when you plug your phone into charge and it makes your keyboard shit its pants?
Yep.
And I kept trying to say okay, but it just wasn't working.
Anyone else but you?
Yeah. They sing that song in Juno, and that's one of the lines in it. And so that's how I remember, that's how I know what that is without having to think about it.
That's good to know. But no, what are the four humors?
Down, down, left, right, BEA start.
Oh,
just because we use cheats doesn't mean we're not smart.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, BEA start. Just because we use cheats doesn't mean we're not smart. I don't see what
it's
anyone
funny,
can
cute
see.
Movie.
Okay.
No, what are the four humors? I need to know.
All right, the first one I will tell you. That was the weirdest burp ever.
Wait. I'm so sorry, Shannon. I'm so sorry. Please cut
those out.
Don't
make me laugh. I will start in a coughing fit. okay. The first one is yellow bile, which was believed to be the fluid found in the gallbladder, but also in vomit and poo, and if you had an excess of this humor, it would make you angry and irrational.
Yeah, if you got slimy shits, you're probably angry. A lot of the people that I know with IBS, grumpies, big grumpums.
Black bile came from the spleen, supposedly, and had an excess would cause depression and cancer.
Well, I can't relate to that at all. No.
Phlegm is the third one, but like not how we think of it today. Phlegm was any white or odorless bodily fluid, so sweat, saliva, but also pus and mucus. And this wasn't on the list, but I'm guessing other things as well.
You're saying such a sequence of gross words. It's... I hope I get to
also
the
jizz. I'm guessing the jizz also.
The nut. The cummies, as they're called, yeah, colloquially.
And then blood is the fourth one, which was supposedly made up of the other three and was the energy source for both the body and soul.
It's like the Powerpuff Girls, but it's like depression, slimy poops, come, and then it's like a little bit of chemical X, which I guess is human sentience or whatever, or maybe it's just love, and then it just makes blood. That's it. So blood, yep, is made of cum, piss, and depression. That's what ye olde science just taught me.
I mean, this is all ancient Greek stuff, so it makes sense to me.
Dude, everyone's whoa, ye olde Greg, what are you doing? Oh well, ye olde Ted, I'm beating my meat to figure out if I can figure out what the human being is composed of. Bro, you've been going at it for so long. Let me beat your meat for you, for science. Whoa, thanks, man. Maybe if we can get enough of our blood, cum, and piss, or blood, piss, and depression, we can make blood. I agree. Everyone, come over here. We need help. And there's just eight dudes just like circle jerking. That's how yield science used to work.
That got really specific.
Yeah, it's my favorite Land Before Time book, actually. It's like Glizzy's with the Greeks. Yeah.
But anyway, you know, so little was known about anatomy and physiology for 2,000 years that That's,
they should have known it wasn't that, though. Sorry, just they should know that that wasn't it. It's like,
this was the foundation of a lot of medicine up to and into the 19th century. Like, bloodletting, the theory behind bloodletting is based on the fact that the human body is comprised of humors. Or, like, herbal remedies were based upon, like, these herbs are associated with these humors. So if, like, this is the one you have excess of, you use this herb to counteract it. Or, I don't know. It makes no sense to me because I'm a scientist.
Yeah, why are they called humors also? Like, do you know?
Because that means, like, the other definition of humor is, like, of the bodily fluids.
Huh.
Yeah.
You heard it here first on Broadcast from the Belfry. Okay, nice.
Yeah. I think it's probably something to do with the Greek origin word. So anyway, the townsfolk were like, George, please exhume your family and let's find who the vampire is. And he was like, vampires aren't real, but if it gets you to shut up, then fine.
Just my parents with me. Just like, all of your... None of these things exist, Sanjay. But if it'll make you shut up, sure, go to your Yu-Gi-Mon tournaments.
So, back to Brandon's dramatic and perfectly written summary here. The exhumation was attended by the local physician, one Dr. Metcalf, concerned and superstitious townsfolk, as well as a newspaper reporter from the Providence Journal. Lena's family refused to attend out of principle or illness in Eddie's case. It's purported that even the groundskeeper of the cemetery itself opted not to witness the event. Upon examination, Mary and Mary Olive's bodies showed levels of decomposition consistent with their date of death. When Mercy's body was inspected, she presented with an atypical external decomposition and fluid blood was discovered within her heart. The physician's professional assessment is a matter of some dispute. It has been alleged that he was both unsurprised by the state of Lena's body and that he was baffled by the lack of decay. Brandon says, I personally prefer the version where he stated that to find uncoagulated blood within the heart this early in stages of putrefaction is not uncommon, but to each their own.
Yeah, just like he said, not to kink shame, but, you know, bodies be different.
It has been suggested in more modern times that the low winter temperatures would have slowed the decay of Lena's body and made her appear less corpse-like, which is duh. If you bury someone in winter when the ground is cold, it's going to preserve them.
Yes, yeah.
Dr. Metcalf's medical opinions fell on deaf ears. The mortified observer's suspicions were confirmed, and so they set about preparing a concoction to halt the spread of vampiric infestation. Mercy's heart and liver were removed and cremated to be used in an elixir for Edwin to drink to save him from the perils of the undead. The elder Brown was later offered the sympathies of the attendants for the necessary violation of his youngest daughter's corpse. Unfortunately, Eddie succumbed to consumption less than 2 months later, which I'm sure shocked and dismayed those who felt the matter to be concluded. Once again, everyone died, but it's not done yet. George Brown would outlive 3 more daughters and watch them waste away before his eyes over the next 7 years. Only one of the 7 Brown children survived the plague upon their house. Also, TB was also called the White Plague because it made you super pale.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Because it only affected white people.
Yeah, that's what I thought, and I was like, weird, but maybe, I don't know.
No, because it made you super pale.
I'm no Scientologist, but I do believe.
Doug Sipple in the house, everyone.
I may be a humble bartender, but one shot of vodka should cure all that ails you. An in-universe thing that I said at one point to help Shannon's character.
Bercy's headstone still stands with those of the other Brown family members and has many visitors throughout the year. The crypt where her body was supposedly kept prior to her first burial is also still standing in Exeter. To slightly move, my fucking Dorian Gray poster fell down and it keeps making noises, so I'm assuming it's just gradually falling down even more and it's kind of freaking me out.
Yeah, it's a little bit spooky, I'll be honest. It made me uncomfortable, but that's just me.
I love this. I saw it at the Art Institute in Chicago and I was like, I have to have this.
Did Caleb get it for you for your birthday?
No, Shannon did.
Okay. I was like, someone I know gave you that poster, and it's someone that I know. That narrows it down to 300 people.
I mean, if it's someone that we both know, that narrows it down considerably. Boop, 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 boop. Where am I? Okay, so to get into pop culture a little bit, but not really. Brandon wrote, the controversy surrounding the exhumation
of... What the fuck did you just say? Have I never heard you say that word before? That is the most... I've only seen it read. I've never heard it before.
Controversy. That was very British of me. I'm so sorry.
You added so many syllables to that pretty simple but still already long word.
Controversy in American. Controversy in British. The controversy. See, then it sounds weird because I have to think about it. Okay. That thing surrounding the exhumation of Mercy Brown was rumored to have inspired HBL, Ol Howie, to write one of his first books, The Shunned House, where a home is haunted by the remains of an entity buried below. Honestly, it's not that great of a story, but I mean, it's fine, but it's just your typical haunted house story, and it's...
Yeah, but from humble beginnings. Ending's
kind of anticlimactic, yeah. As well as Bram Stoker's ill-fated Dracula character, Lucy, Carty. Fucking Christ, I cannot talk today.
That's how you Transylvanians say character. Carty.
Bram Stoker's ill-fated Dracula character, Lucy, who obviously was turned into a vampire by Dracula. I think it's really hard to narrow down specific things for pop culture because vampires are so prevalent throughout horror tropes, and like, even if something's not obviously a vampire story, I feel like there's a lot of horror tropes that are based on vampiric things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There is an episode, shout out to Jessica Lemon, of Expedition Unknown.
I was about to say, we love you, everyone listen to Sour Sweet and Spooky, and then you brought up Expedition Unknown, and I was like, ugh, why are these two so horny for the show? Rolled my eyes so hard.
Where Josh goes to Romania because there was, like, a contemporary report of this thing happening in Romania, where, like, they thought someone was a vampire, so they exhumed the body and burn the heart and rebury the body. They didn't do anything with the ashes, but they definitely cut out the heart and burned it. And Josh went to Romania and found one of the guys who did it, and he was like, I did it to protect my village, so I don't feel bad at all. And then, for funsies, I made a list of a bunch of famous people who died from TB.
Okay. Number one on the list, not my friend Ryan. Shout out to Quacks. You made it through, my guy. Love you. Stay frosty.
Number one on my list is the poet John Keats, who died at the age of 25, famous for his romantic odes. Also, super famously, Poe's wife/cousin, same person, and his mother, not the same person.
The Venn diagram that is his family tree is very, very close to a circle, but it's not exactly a circle.
They both died of TB, and this is often cited as one of the main causes why he frequently has a theme of sickly, beautiful, or dead beautiful women throughout his stories. I said sickly beautiful or dead beautiful throughout his stories. Pretend I also said women in there. Okay. I'm really killing it. Emily Bronte, author of the most terrible gothic romance story ever written, Wuthering Heights. If you ever want to hear me rant about something that I hate, hit me up about Wuthering Heights. I don't give a shit about that story. It's not that the writing is bad, but those people are fucking terrible and they all deserve what happened to them, and I don't feel bad for them.
Literally, if three people tell us to, we will do a book club where I will read Wuthering Heights and you can hear Georgia complain about it as we're discussing it. So
hell yeah, that sounds great.
Three people say you want us to do that, we'll do it. Or just any other book you want, honestly. We don't care.
Emily Bronte died at 30. All of these people died really young. Jane Austen, too, she died pretty young of TB. George Orwell, 1984, Animal Farm.
Yeah, cool guy. Really picked up on what was getting put down. You know, he understands modern society more than most people alive today, which is sad.
Eleanor Roosevelt, she died of TB, which I did not know.
Rip my girl Ellie.
Erwin Schrödinger. Did he have TB or did he not have TB?
Technically, inside of him there was and was not TB, and the only way to find out is to open him up, so, you know.
Henry David Thoreau. Madame de Pompadour, as seen in that one episode of Doctor Who with the clockwork dudes.
Oh, yeah.
She died of TB, and the doctor wasn't there. King Tut probably had TB, analysis of his mummy shows. Andrew Jackson, good. Hope he choked on his blood a lot. Louis Braille, inventor of Braille.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah. Okay.
Paul Gauguin, the artist, also had TB, but he actually died of syphilis.
He's like,
that was a fun fact.
Yeah, if I'm gonna die of TB, I'm gonna go out fucking, you know? Just.
Yeah. And then Tina Turner, Carlos Santana, Tom Jones, and Ringo Starr all contracted TB, but like Ryan, did not die from it.
Yeah. It's a. Same. Being a musician, you know? It keeps away the disease.
But same with Nelson Mandela, and also Hitler.
I mean. Nelson Mandela did die, though, in 1999, so...
Yeah. But not of TB. I thought he died in 2003.
When's the Mandela effect initial time? Wasn't it that everyone thought he died in... Or no, it was that everyone thought he died in, like, 03, but he actually didn't die until, like, 2010, 2015 or something? I think it was, like, 2010.
2013! Fucking hell.
Okay,
well, yes. I had the three right.
Yeah, so everyone thought he died sometime around, like, the early... Like, 2000 to 2005... I think apartheid was abolished in 1999. And just, nope, he was just alive and kicking.
Yeah.
Berenstain, yeah.
He was president until prime minister, whatever they have, until 1999. First president, yep. Okay. On Hitler, well... That's all I got. Ending with Hitler.
Ending with Hitler. What is... I had a question. Oh, what is your favorite song from the Twilight soundtrack?
Oh, fuck. Like, any movies, or specifically the first movie?
I'll say
the first movie had the best soundtrack, so...
Yes, yes? Yes, it did.
Oh, I just got paid. Hell yeah. Yeah, I love getting paid, thank you. Stop telling me, though.
You should also get paid.
I think... soundtrack. I don't know.
So I think Decode was in 3.
Decode was in the first one.
Oh, Decode was in 1. Holy fuck. But Supermassive Black Hole was in... Oh, was
also,
in
the first one.
And that's my favorite, because that was the baseball scene. I'm like 99% sure.
I really like Full Moon by the Black Ghosts. That's a good one. Yeah, I'd probably say that one. I don't know. Although Supermassive Black Hole, you can't go wrong with Muse. Or Paramore, though. I don't know. It's really hard to pick. I just need to listen to the whole soundtrack, I think. I have a question. Who's your favorite TB sufferer?
My boy Ryan. Shout out to Ryan.
Is it gonna be Ryan?
It's Ryan again. Shannon, please put in air horns right here for my boy Ryan. Yeah. He's one of the saddest boys I've ever met. We talk about music a lot. He's my dude. So, yeah. That was a loud truck. Wow.
You know my windows don't work good.
Yeah, that's true. I had another actual question related to vampires, but I forgot what it was at this point. So, I'm gonna call it there.
Okay.
Wait. What order do I do this? Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Broadcast from the Belfry. Don't stop shaking your head. If you liked what you heard, learned something new, have lots of hot contention, please reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram by searching Broadcast from the Belfry in the search bar. You can also email us at broadcastfromthebelfry@gmail.com. You will get an answer wherever you go, because we love you. Thank you to Shannon for mixing our sound. Thank you to Brandon for being our researcher. We love you. I'm sorry that we roasted you a fair amount. It is all out of love. Thank you to Hope for doing the social medias. And thank you to you, the listener, because without you, all of this would be impossible. Or it would still be possible, but it'd be really weird. So thank you for hanging out with us. Do you have any other announcements or anything, Georgia?
No. Except I would like to point out that I am giving full TB chic vibes today with my dark circles and my pale face.
I'm wearing a gray button down, so... What do we say to all the...
The color of the ashes of the burnt hearts.
Yes, Georgia is the semi-living, and I am the recently deceased. It's overall vibe. What do we say to the hopefully not TB contracting listeners of this podcast?
Thanks for listening and stay spooky.
Sluts. That was a real cough. Mine was not. Oh, also listen to Sour Sweet and Spooky, Jessica Lemon's True Crime and Spooky Things podcast. She's the best. Okay, bye.
Hell yeah.
We just reached episode 69. How we gonna celebrate? We're back to time. So let's go back to old Hungary, where I'll meet a little lady named Liz Bathory. Filling up the tub with your favorite suds. Epsom salts, lavender, and some blood. If you choose to look at her the wrong way, she'll cut off your private parts and throw them away. She killed hundreds, some said, but this bad bitch only got house arrest. Rub-a-dub-dub, she'll cut off your thumb. Smile while she does it, her emotions are numb.